What? You want to go? I was going to say if you wanted me to go first. We both go first.
We'll both go first. All right. Ready? One, two, three. Welcome, everyone. Okay.
Try that again. You go first.
All right, everybody. This is how Ula and I practice. It's in real time because that's how we do everything right here, right now. And today we are going to be telling you what the name of Tinkerbell's Mexican sister is. But first, Ula, what are we talking about today?
We are talking about shut up and listen. And what does that mean? And what in the world does that have to do with Tinkerbell's Mexican sister?
Well, I think Tinkerbell's Mexican sister is needing to shut up and listen. So that's exactly what I'm going to do right now and listen to what it is that we want to share in today's episode.
Yeah, I'll start with telling actually where the whole name, what is the Mexican thing? Yeah. No, what is the name of Tinkerbell's Mexican sister? We probably reveal the name later on at the end of this episode, but the whole name came from my lovely 10-year-old son who refers to me as Tinkerbell. And he saw this joke somewhere, and then he figured that that's a joke for Gladys and I because Gladys is half Mexican. So,
very smart little boy, very observant.
Yes, exactly. And that's actually what a shut up and listen is, right? Being observant. Doesn't it mean that?
Yes. And how often are we really observing everything that's happening in our world? And we... Over the last 9 episodes, we have been talking about ways for you to slow down, for you to pay attention to how you respond to things like death, to things like life and everything in between. And a lot of times, so much of our angst in life comes because we are in constant chatter with ourselves about everything that's not working, everything that's going to go wrong, everything that we don't want. And it prevents us from really tapping into the magic that's present here in the moment that is not only of our own creation, but also the magic around us of being supported. And of course, we are talking about being supported by our dead people because we want to know what they're doing on the other side, how they're still around us, helping us. And in order to make that happen, we got to get quiet and we got to start to listen.
Yes. And I want to clarify, when I talk about dead people, when Gladys talks about dead people, we're not talking about zombies walking around, something super scary and ugly. No, 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 no. It's when we say dead people, we mean your higher power, your inner being, the loved ones who have passed on, God, whatever you want this energy to be for you and whatever you wanted to call it. I want to call it dead people because I want to make fun of the way people on this planet see death. Because as we believe what death is, it doesn't exist. It just simply doesn't exist. Because when we move on to the next chapter of our life, it's still life. We are as alive as we are today, if not even more.
Now that's a juicy one because a lot of people are of the belief that when we die, meaning our hearts stop beating, our brain stops functioning, our body is no longer living, that is the end of all life. So Ula, what do you mean we are still alive when we die?
You don't go anywhere. And that's another big one. We might have to do another episode on that one because you literally do not go anywhere. You are still here focusing on this reality that we are focusing on here, not quite as intensely as when you are in flesh, but you're still here. So because energy doesn't die and everybody knows this energy, you can't kill energy. That's just simply not possible. You can't kill energy. And that's what you are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when we talk about dead people, we are talking about the energy that is us, the energy that is our loved ones who have passed on. And that energy is infinite. It never ceases to exist. So the shift that happens when somebody dies that you love, there, you know what? I actually heard this yesterday. It was a beautiful recording by Abraham Hicks, and somebody from the audience had just lost her parents. And the way that Abraham described it was that the grief that we experience, that sense of loss when somebody has died, isn't that the person is gone, but rather it's our attachment to that person that we're grieving. We are grieving our sense of self in relation to that other person. And if we look at it through that way, it starts to really shift our focus to understand that this all comes back to us. It's our state of being. And if we find that our state of being is interrupted when someone dies, that's where we come in, Ula and I, right? That's where we're here to tell you that there's so much more opportunity than just feeling like you've lost. And in that loss, you are full of sorrow, and the sorrow has to continue on for years, and your life all of a sudden feels heavy and weighted. There's another end of the spectrum, which is celebration, joy, elation, excitement, expansion. Mm-hmm. This is energy, right? Energy is not stagnant. Energy is not without movement. Energy is alive. It's a force. And if we can learn to tap into that other end of the spectrum, that's where we can soften into seeing death just as a transition of our physical state, but the energetic state of our loved ones still is the same.
Yes. Oh, it actually changes a little bit from what they were on the planet Earth, because they leave all the worry and negative thoughts and all that behind. So that's also one thing why we can't really find them immediately after they have moved on. Like, we can't feel them because they are in such a state of joy and expansion that if you yourself are not in that space, you can really feel them. And I have heard Esther Hicks, who channels, she doesn't like the word channel, but she is the, I'm just going to keep saying channel. She's the channel for Abraham. And when her husband, Jerry Hicks, passed away, of course she grieved too. And she was in such a state of grief that she couldn't find him either. And it took her some time to be able to be in the space where you can find the other person who has moved on. You can still find them, but it's going to take some time to adjust your own being in order to find the one, the loved one who has moved on. But it's possible. So absolutely, you will grieve. That's normal. And we've been saying this on pretty much every episode. It doesn't mean just because you want to live a joyous, happy life, it doesn't mean that you'll never get hurt or you don't grieve your loved ones who move on. No, it doesn't mean that. But it means that you can change the way you process these things, and you don't have to stay in that state of grief forever and for a long time and feel like, oh, I have to be crying every day for a certain amount of time just because the society says that you have to do that. So it definitely doesn't mean that.
Yeah, there's definitely an expectation that we are supposed mm-hmm. to be in pain, that we're not supposed to be okay. And these hardships definitely rip our hearts apart, but they're ripping our hearts open. And this is something that I love. I was part of a spiritual ceremony, and one of the songs that they would play, the words were, "My heart is broken open." And in the breaking open, we are free, right? And this really is the opportunity, that anytime you're going through a heartbreak, there is an opportunity to step into a freer way of living. And that is where we want you to learn how to accomplish that by focusing on the other end of the emotional spectrum that you're not tapping into, which is celebration, which is peace, gratitude, forgiveness, understanding, all of these things, acceptance that I speak about in The Good Goodbye. They apply here because these are ways that you can shift your energy. And so one thing, sweetie, that I'm taking away that I want to reinforce for everybody is when our loved ones die, their energetic state is so vibrantly joyous and full of love and expansive that for us to tap into that, our vibration, our energetic vibration needs to be a match for that, which means that the more that we can open up to allowing joy in, maybe you don't have to force yourself to feel joyful, but allowing joy in, whether it's on a walk and seeing a butterfly and taking a moment to receive that love. And then you think of the person that has died, but you're from a loving space. That's when you can receive the gift that this is your loved one saying hello. Or for you, Ula, like how do you experience your energetic state being a match? And what does that allow you to experience with your loved ones that have died?
Well, I have a good example from last October. An aunt of mine, she passed away, and I knew she was gone when I went for a run. I'm a runner. I went for a run, and I've been seeing this beautiful yellow butterfly, and I know it's my mother-in-law. It's always there in the park where I run, and this time there was two. And my aunt who passed away, she was my mother-in-law's best friend for over 70 years. And they were so joyful. And I just knew that she was gone. But at the same time, when I say gone, yeah, she wasn't in her earthly body anymore, but she was free. Like there was just so much joy. And that's part of the shutting up and listening that you finally start trusting that, yes, these messages are real. These messages are true. And there's nothing scary about that. Because I think a lot of people are afraid of receiving these messages. Whatever it is that you've been hearing from your teachers, your parents, or society, whatever it is that you've learned that you need to be afraid of the death and you need to be afraid of a dead people because, well, I guess they're zombies, but none of that is true. So it's going to take some time to get used to the fact that, yes, these messages are true and they are from love. They are always from love. And once you start receiving these messages, oh my gosh, you get to experience such beautiful magic in this earth that it's hard to describe by words. You just have to experience it and you have to trust that it is true and it's from love.
Oh, I love that. And one thing that I want to add in this is, you know, for those that maybe are more accepting of what death is, right? And maybe it's not the fear of, you know, walking zombies coming around, but actually it's when you receive that gift of connection with a loved one, your heart might feel that sense of expansiveness, but then all of a sudden it feels like too much and then you want to shut it down. So this is what I want to introduce is that when we go through a loss, some of us can experience a trauma around it. And on a physiological level, right, like your body carries that cellular memory, your nervous system, when it goes through a trauma, it stays in an agitated state. And if that agitated state is not addressed, when you do get a reminder of your loved one or that it's almost like a surge of energy through your body that you know is them and your heart wants to receive it, but then you shut it all down and then you start crying. I know this has happened to me so many times. There's almost what we call a block. that's the feeling that people have. And I've heard this from loved ones around their desire to connect with our dead people, but they feel nothing. They just feel a block. And they can think about their loved one, but they don't feel their loved one. And then they feel like it's not, quote unquote, working for them. This may be a sign that you need to attend to your nervous system, right? Because it is impossible to receive anything in the spiritual realm, right? Receive that expansive energy if your nervous system is agitated, because our agitated nervous system tells our brain that we're not safe, mm-hmm. right? And in not being safe, our mind is going to doubt your knowing. It's going to say, oh no, that was my eyes being weird and the sunlight coming in my living room in a weird way that cast a shadow that I thought was a spirit, but no, that was just blurry eyes. We start to talk ourselves out of these magical moments because your brain is wired to try to keep you safe. What is safe? Safe is familiar. Safe is what you know. So in order for us to go into this other realm and connect to our dead people, connect to that high vibration, we want to attend to our nervous system so that we can be calm. And then our brains can shut up. Right? The mental chatter can stop. And in that, you can feel your way into receiving their messages.
That is so true. And your reset remedy is a perfect way to begin your journey of shutting up because you tend to your nervous system first and you allow your body and mind to rest and to shift that energy, because you have to start from somewhere, and you because we are so action oriented as human beings, it is very important that you take that break from all the action in your life and start tending to your nervous system and then to your thoughts, and you begin to think deliberately. Because that also helps. We are so used to facing the reality, which I think is complete nonsense. And that might be, again, another episode where I think facing the reality is complete nonsense. But when you face the reality, you are only focusing on the thoughts that you have been thinking until that point. And whatever you have brought into your reality to that point, that's exactly what's going to keep coming back to you until you change the way you think and start thinking deliberately and allowing your dead people come to you.
It's like facing reality is living in the past.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do we want to live in the past and just rehash the same bullshit, or do we actually want to take control of how our lives unfold and in that get the assistance of our dead people? And I think that's where I would love for us to support everyone listening is how do we begin that process of connecting to our dead people? And then what's the magic on the other side? And as we stated earlier, reset remedy, beautiful way to address your nervous system. If you feel blocked, if you feel unable to access that openness that we've been talking about, get the reset remedy. It's in the show notes. And then when you say being deliberate in our thoughts, one thing that I go back to is our feelings, right? How much of our feelings really can create the pathway to this other way of existing. And this is where you can practice going on the other end of the emotional spectrum. It's okay to feel joyful while you also feel heartbroken. It's okay to feel expansive while you also feel like your heart is crumbling apart. It's okay to celebrate loss while you also mourn it. These can all coexist. And the more that you open yourself up to it, you can start to receive guidance. And this is something, honey, that I'm learning very much. You know, I've been on this journey for a while. I, you know, worked with a healer for about 8 years, And that was my entree to getting a vocabulary around all the spiritual stuff that was going in my life. And then us coming together as friends has been a beautiful, beautiful, like, portal into this whole other level, right? And that's where, when we say magic, it's the assistance that we get from our dead people to create new ideas. Mm-hmm. The nudges that we get to take what I think Abraham refers to as inspired action. It's the synchronicities that start happening in your life effortlessly. This is the magic. And most of us want those synchronicities. I was actually thinking about this last night. Everything in our lives is synchronous. Everything is synchronicity. Mm-hmm. But we want the synchronicity that feels magical, which is, oh my God, I was just thinking about somebody and I went to the coffee shop and then I met them and then they did this and all of a sudden I have this brand new idea and then I'm, you know, being invited to show my art. Like, these things just door openers, right, to what we desire. Well, you're also creating synchronicity in the same exact way as those magical moments that seem to happen on the other end of the spectrum, which is the negative. So if you, and I'll give you a really quick example. Yesterday, I was flying back from the United States to Mexico, and I was experiencing synchronicity, right? So all these things started to happen. I'd be like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is amazing. And then I got in the car to drive to the airport and I was sitting in traffic. And I was a half an hour behind schedule. And my brain started to say, oh my God, I'm going to be late. And what if I don't get there on time? And then I'm going to have to run to the airport. How am I going to get my suitcases on? All of that then led me to miss my exit. So I was 8 additional minutes late. I'm now under the 2-hour minimum requirement to board. And I knew well enough to check myself and be like, Gladys, you know what's happening. Because now you're creating synchronicity in the opposite way that you want. So I took a deep breath and I reset myself. Right. And that's where I started to then be back in flow with the synchronicity that was already unfolding, that it was of my desire. So anyway, what do you recommend, sweetie, as ways for people to practice owning, taking ownership of the kind of synchronicity that they create and how this can lead us to then receive those inspired messages from our dear loved ones that are dead?
It's really easy to go into the space that you were just talking about, that, okay, now I'm 30 minutes late. Now I'm 38 minutes late. I'm definitely not going to make it to my gate on time and all these things, because that's how your brain has been trained to do for a very, very long time. So number one, be kind and gentle with yourself. Throw a fit if you have to. It's okay. You can get on the floor and kick and scream and cry. Just don't let it last too long. Catch yourself. Because sometimes the release of anger with that screaming and throwing a fit, it actually gets you to a better place. So it's okay to do that. Don't stay there very long. And then when you catch yourself, then you can tell yourself, literally, like, just like you would tell a child, that, okay, let's not do it that way. Let's do it this way. You can treat yourself like a child in the beginning, and it's going to get easier and easier and easier. The thing that I want to remind everybody again, that it doesn't end. It's not a college degree that you get, and once you get it, that's it. You're just going to live blissfully forever after, running around on the fields with unicorns and stuff. No, that's not going to happen. You're still going to have those quote unquote bad and negative experiences in your life, because we need contrast. We need contrast to find out what we want, and like making small little adjustments on things too, that, okay, I want this, but oh, maybe that's even better. So you need that contrast in your life. So throw a fit if you have to, but catch yourself and don't stay there too long. And then treat yourself like a little child who hasn't experienced anything yet. Not as a child, like, okay, I'm going to be angry at you and pointing my finger at you. No, as a child who has never done anything like this before. And then you just gently guide yourself the other way. Let's go to this end of the spectrum. I don't want to stay in this emotional spectrum of negative. I want to move on to the other end.
That reminds me of what we talked about last week, where you mentioned how a good question to ask is, what would feel better than this right now, instead of what would feel good. So just a little bit better, right, is a shift. And then from that new space, you can shift into a little bit better until you're back in the rhythm that feels great to you. So let's take all of this. And then, Ula, let's leave folks. I would love to give people an exercise to help them shut up and listen and to really experience some of that magic that we keep referring to, and to do it in a very simple way. So what exercise do we have for folks today?
I think the one we talked about on a previous episode, the writing down three little things, three benign things, things that don't matter, that you want to see in your life. Let's say I want to find a penny on the ground. How many times have you found a penny on the ground and you never really thought anything of it? Like, what if that was purposely put there just for you? Or you can think about, I love Abraham Hicks talks about blue glass and butterflies and something like that. It's just something completely, a thing that you have no attachment to. No attachment whatsoever. Ever write down three things and then just feel happy. Whatever it is that you can feel happy about, just feel happy and watch those little things come to your life.
And those little things, I think one thing for the people that are very type A and controlling, like I have been, we set an expectation, even though we have no, they're benign, we set an expectation that we need to see them, and then we start fixing on that. So I would even encourage that this might be a little bit more of an advanced exercise for those that really are used to really having a lot of control. And why do we control? Because we don't feel safe. So one thing that comes to mind for me too is, let's go back to your nervous system. Like, shut up and listen. Can you tolerate, and I'm being very intentional in using that word, can you tolerate 3 minutes of silence for 5 days? That's it. 3 minutes of silence for 5 days. Go outside if you want to for 3 minutes, set a timer, and just be quiet. That's it. And then from there, pay attention to the thoughts that happen, because you'll have chatter, a lot of chatter in your brain. Just gently, and Ula has said this over and over and over again, be kind to yourself, be gentle with yourself. Don't beat yourself up if you can't just be still and experience zen and bliss. But in those 5 days, notice what kinds of thoughts come up. Are they anxious? Are they pressured? Are they stress-filled? And taking note of it just gives you a chance to know how your nervous system is doing, right? And then be able to, in the next 5 days, write that list, but just practice being quiet and let go of that pressure. We put so much pressure on ourselves to make this work. And those of us that have been super thirsty, yearning to connect to our dead people, this might provoke a little bit of pressure in you. So be proactive and just take care of yourself to make this super easy and fun. That's one thing that Ula and I live by, right? Stupid, easy, fun.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I love that you brought that up, because like we are so much the same, but we are so different in a lot
totally.
Of ways. And I love that you remind me that there are people that are nowhere near where I am energetically. It's hard for me to remember that, oh yeah, there's people who can be quiet for 3 minutes. Because they are so type A and everything has to be controlled and you got to know exactly what happens the next second. So I love that you brought that up, because it is so true. If you can be quiet for 3 minutes, that it's hard for you to write down three things and expect to see those, because you're just setting up an expectation to fail. Because you'll definitely have something in your mind that this is how it has to happen. Like, this is where I'm going to find my penny, and it's going to be 3:05 this PM and all this. And
no. That sounds like me the first time I tried that exercise.
So no, none of that. One thing I want to add to that also is that do not tell anyone what you're doing.
Ooh, this is a good one. Mm-hmm. Tell us more.
Tell anyone, because you are going to introduce a different energy to it and they're going to talk you out of it. And that's not the way you want it to go. So keep it a secret if that's the word you like it. Or you can be just like me and stop talking. You just shut up. Don't care what the people think. So don't tell anyone. There's a lot of things that I don't say I know things, a lot of things, but I just don't say anything to anyone until it is in quote unquote, in reality, it's happening right now, because I don't want anybody talking me out of these things. Mm. There's things that I want to experience and I know it's going to be amazing. It's going to be fun. Like, I knew the moment I met Gladys that we're going to be doing something super fun and it's going to be something big and people are going to love it. Did I tell you that the first moment we met?
No, honey, because I would have thought you were crazy. Like, who is this strange woman that I've never met before? And she's telling me that we're going to be best friends and we're going to do something that's going to change the world. Yeah, I wasn't open, right? Because we had just met. So I love that, honey. That's a beautiful reminder.
Yep. Another shut up and listen moment.
It sure is. So for all of us that have been shutting up and listening to Ula and I today, thank you. Thank you for being so open and receptive to everything that we've been sharing with you. We are on episode 10 today, and it just feels so good, sweetie, to have come this far. I want to do a little quick shout out to just recognize how people all over the world are now listening in. We are currently in 17 countries. Mm-hmm. We are in every continent. Yeah. Excluding, is Antarctica a continent?
Yeah.
Okay. So for anybody that lives in Antarctica, do people live there?
No, no. I don't.
Come join the party. Come join the party. And for those that have been listening every single week, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, in our show notes, you will find a way to contact us both. And we would love to hear what it's been like for you to be on this journey with us over the last 10 episodes. And just know that we're here to do our beautiful work in the most fun, amazing ways possible. And on that note, fun, stupid, easy, tell us what Luca came up with for us today.
So what is the name of Tinkerbell's Mexican sister?
I don't know. What is it, Ula?
It's Taco Bell.
We need that little button on your road podcaster to do the
Let me see if I can get the
just press any one of them. Let's see what noise it makes.
Applause, crickets, rim shot. There you go.
Yeah! Oh my god, okay, let's do it over again. Ready? No, say the joke.
Oh, at least I have something to edit today.
Or not. All right, let's start over.
So what is the name of Tinkerbell's Mexican sister?
What is it? I don't know.
Taco Bell.
Yay! We did it! We're going to be working on our comedy skits in the next season. And it's good that you guys are all part of us practicing our pitches, our jokes. Oh my God. All right, everybody. Well, let's wrap up. Ula, any final thoughts for today?
It's been stupid, fun, and easy, as always.
Yeah. So if you want to join us in a stupid, fun, easy, take a moment to shut up and listen and watch the magic unfold. See you next time.
Bye.